Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
What do we think when we think of what was the greatest wall ever built? What do you think of? Yeah, Great Wall of China. 1,000 years it took them to finish that wall. Over 4,000 miles long, and it was ineffective. Why? Lazy guards fell asleep, and greedy guards that were bribed so that the Mongolians could just put ladders up and climb the walls, or they could just unlock the doors for them, and they went right through. Today, though, I want to talk about a city that was a walled city and is perhaps the oldest known walled city in existence today. That city is Jericho. Jericho was a city that guarded the western and the southern entrance into the land of Canaan. Now, remember when Moses was brought up to the top of Mount Nebo and God showed him all of the land of promise before he died? And there he could see, God would show him, there's Jerusalem, and that's where my temple is going to rest. And over here is the Dead Sea, and there will be things done there, and the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Messiah is going to be. And I'm sure God gave him kind of the layout of the land, but there he could see very clearly from the top of Mount Nebo, there was a city that was walled and fortified, and that city was the city of Jericho, right beyond the Jordan River. In our text this morning in Hebrews 11, says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, there's a whole lot packed in that one verse, and we're going to go back to the Old Testament to read the account of what took place that's written in Joshua 5 and Joshua 6. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And your word tells us about that God of miracles that we sang about, that we worshiped. Lord, you want to still do miracles in our lives today. Your son Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God wants to speak to you today? Do you believe he has a word for you today? Then just say, God, speak to me. I believe you have something to say to me today from your holy word. Speak to me this morning, Heavenly Father. Lord, that's our desire, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what I want to do is, before we actually get into the account of the children of Israel and Jericho, let's back it up just a little bit to what happened the night before it all started. That's found in Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15 is where I'm going to read. It says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So the Lord comes to Joshua, that same God who came to Moses, Joshua's predecessor. He comes to Joshua and he says, look, this battle is not going to be won by human means. How many of you know there are lots of battles that you and I face in life that cannot be won by human means? And this was one of them. This battle was going to be won by the commander of the Lord's army. Amen? And I'm sure that Joshua was concerned because Joshua was there looking there in the distance at the city of Jericho and its walls. Now, some of you remember we showed the movie Patterns of Evidence about a year ago. That was an amazing computer animation of how they had determined the walls of Jericho based on the archaeological findings and diggings were built. And for those of you that weren't there and our PowerPoint isn't working this morning, or I would have shown you some pictures, it had a rampart, a kind of a bedrock rampart that was built up, a retaining wall of sort. And then it had a wall beyond that. So between the retaining wall and the wall above the retaining wall, the first wall was 25 feet high. Then after that, there was on the other side of that wall where that retaining wall had been built up, there was a dirt embankment that you had to get up and run up this hill. And then there was the next wall, the second wall, that was another 25 feet high. So the whole wall was like 60 feet high from the ground to the top of that wall. And if you got over the first wall, they had towers where they could easily shoot you with arrows that as you're trying to get up the embankment to get over the next wall, the higher wall, that second wall. So this is the fortified city that Joshua and the children of Israel are looking at as God is telling them, I am going to deliver this city into your hands. And let's read that. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. So why was Jericho shut up securely? Why were they so concerned? Because they had heard about this God, this same God that had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and crushed the Egyptian society and Pharaoh and all of his chariots in the Red Sea. They had heard about that, but that was 40 years ago. They also heard about this God that miraculously kept these people, we had determined 2 to 3.5 million people, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He kept them alive. And they heard about all these miracles. So they were in fear of this God. But look what it says in verse 2. The commander of the Lord's army says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. It was already a done deal. That city was already conquered in the mind of the Lord. It wasn't going to be conquered. The battle had already been won before the battle had been fought. And it's the same in our lives. We become fearful of the battles. The Lord Jesus has told us, I've already won that battle. I've already got power over that enemy. I've already given you the power and delivered you from that feat. We've read the end of the book. We know how this all ends, people. It all ends in victory. It may look dark, especially if you watch the news or read your internet news. It's just like, it looks really dark. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So we already have the victory. The battle, oftentimes, is yet to be fought. So Joshua is probably thinking, Lord, you've given me the victory. Okay, we're going to have victory. I get that. How are we going to do this? What's the battle plan? So Joshua is still there talking to the Lord. This is still the night before, up until the end of verse 5. So let's go on. He continues, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Now imagine, after Joshua got the plan from the Lord, he goes back to his captains and the children of Israel, and they're wondering what the battle plan is. And he tells them, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around the city for 6 days. Seventh day, we're going to walk around seven times, going to blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall flat, and we're going to take the city. And they're probably thinking, really? I thought maybe we'd laid siege to the city and starve them out. Let's do that. What if we just cut off their water supply? Maybe that would work. How about if we build some catapults? I heard these catapults, this new invention, that works really good, and we can just throw big boulders up into the city and bomb the towers. How about if we do that? How about a battering ram? We get a battering ram, we'll just batter down those gates and we'll come in and take the city. But Joshua, walking around the city, blowing trumpets, shouting, and the walls are going to come down flat. Okay, we'll try it, but is this really the best plan? Is this how it's going to work? Are you sure? Now, do you remember back in chapter 5? We just read it. What happened there? Joshua was before the Lord, and the Lord said, take off your sandals. And he bowed and he worshiped. Joshua was surrendering. He thought he was the one that was going to lead the children of Israel. And the Lord says, no, I'm the commander, and this is my army, and it's my battle. Will you obey my orders? Will you surrender to me? And so Joshua surrenders. After Joshua surrenders, the Lord shared with him what the battle plan was. But he didn't share it beforehand. And sometimes we need to literally pray faith into our heart to believe God for the battle plan. Amen? Now, remember, the walls of Jericho are still standing. They are very there, very real. They're there. They're upright. They're strong. They're standing. And they were going to circle the walls of that city 6 full days, and nothing was going to happen. Nothing. God said nothing. Not one thing is going to change. The walls are still standing. But they're told to march. They're told to circle. And they're told to shout. But nothing's happening. Nothing's going to happen. It's not going to change. It's still going to be right there, erect, in your face, and very real. And there may be some people here today and you feel, I'm just going around in circles in my life. That sounds like my life. I'm walking around in circles and I'm walking around in circles and nothing is happening. Nothing's changing. I don't get it. What's going on? Not one thing has changed, and I'm dealing with this obstacle, this Jericho in my life, and it's been not just days or weeks, but it's been months. And sometimes even years that we're struggling with these obstacles, these Jerichos. What is the Jericho in your life? I don't know. What is it that intimidates you? What is it that brings fear into your heart? What is it that reminds you perhaps of your failures from your past? What is it that seems to be an obstacle that is literally unmovable? It's like, I can't seem to break that down. I can't seem to change that. I can't make that change. It's an impossible barrier. What is it? Think about that. What is that in your life? What's the impossible barrier? What's that impossible obstacle that you wish so badly could somehow change? That you wish so badly that could somehow fall down flat? That life would be different. And you're going around in circles. Now, when you're going around in circles, we all do. We all have to. We're going around in circles. We're circling that Jericho. We have a choice to make. Are we going to focus on our fears or our failure? Where is our focus going to be? So the children of Israel had the same challenge. Were they going to focus on their fears? What if? How many times? Is it going to happen? Is this really going to work? Or are they going to focus on their faith in God? They had the choice to focus on the city or focus on the commander, Christ. They had the choice to focus on the walls before them as they were circling, or they had the choice to focus on the Word of God. They had the choice to focus on Jericho or on Jesus. And you and I have that same challenge in our lives today. Where is our focus going to be when we're circling around the city of Jericho, the obstacle in our life? And are those laps, while we're doing these circles around and around, are those laps going to be laps of defeat or laps of victory? Yeah, think about that. It was in the heart of the Israelite, in the heart. If they believed God, it was a lap of victory every day. They were doing a victory lap. If they doubted, it was a lap of defeat. It's the same for us. And sometimes, here's the crazy thing. Sometimes when we're circling the walls and the obstacles and the difficulties that we encounter in our life, if we don't do it in faith and we have fear in our heart, you know what happens? Fear actually creates these imaginary bricks, and it starts adding these bricks to the top of the wall. And fear actually makes the walls that were big seem a lot bigger. Faith breaks down walls. Fear builds those up in our minds where they're just like insurmountable. But faith in God will break down the walls. Amen? And there was an excellent example for those of you that were here last Wednesday when we showed the movie Case for Christ. Remember Lee Strobel's wife? She was there and she'd gotten saved and she's praying for her husband. That, talk about a wall, is the wall. Talk about Jericho. Those walls are surrounded. He is firm. He is fixed. He is adamant. And he's angry in his disbelief and his disdain for God. And she's married to this man. And here she is, a new Christian. And she just loves the Lord. And she wants to share. And she wants her husband to get saved. But there is nothing happening. And what happened? She got to that place where she just felt completely hopeless. The walls are too big. I can't do this anymore. And she went to her friend that was discipling her. Do you remember that point in the movie? And the friend said to her, what did she say? She said, you need to keep focusing on the promises of God. What was the promise she focused on? Do you remember? Ezekiel 36:26. Behold, I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit in you. I will take out that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And remember how many times she went back to that scripture, and she had a choice. She could either circle her problem or choose to circle the promise. She chose to circle the promise. She circled the promise of God. And that's the same choice that you and I have. Instead of circling the problem, we need to circle the promise. We need to march. We need to shout. And we need to circle. Verse 6, then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. Now, before we leave this point, I want you to catch something. Something big is happening. There's a big change that's taking place. And because we're not there, we just kind of miss it. What has led the children of Israel for 40 years? The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Not any longer. Now the Lord is going to lead his people. He's leading them personally. And he's showing that visibly by the ark going before them. No longer are they led by fire or cloud. They are led personally by the Lord, by the commander of the Lord's army. And so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor not said a word that it would proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So God told them to walk around the city for 6 days without saying a word. But on the seventh day, then they were to make a shout. Why? We don't know. We don't know. We're never told. We're never given a reason. We don't know why. Why do we have to walk around the city for 6 days, not saying a word, and then seven times the seventh day, and then we shout, why? Don't you want to know why? I always want to know why. We're not told why. And there are times when God's going to tell you to do something, it will make no sense. And you're going to ask, why? And he's not going to tell you why. But you'll know he's telling you to do something very specifically. But why, God? It makes no sense. Because I told you to do it. It's just that simple. And it's like that for every one of us. We actually may think that we have a better plan. Catapults sound a lot better to me. You know, cutting off the water supply, that sounds a lot better. That's a better plan. God didn't say to do it that way. He tells them, this is what I want you to do. And he doesn't give them a reason. How many of you know? Ours is not to question the methods of God. Our challenge is, will we obey his word? Amen. Will we obey what he's told us to do? Because that's my problem. And every one of us here, you and I, we all have a choice to make. We have to decide, will we obey God? Will we believe God when he makes no sense? What he's told us to do makes absolutely no sense. Am I willing to obey? Will I choose to obey or disobey? Am I going to just obey or argue or question? Yeah. And sometimes the task God calls us to, think about it. It was overwhelming for them, and he can call us to overwhelming tasks that are overwhelming. They are beyond what we can do, and we know we do not have the ability to accomplish the task. Did they have the ability to accomplish the task to take that city? No, they didn't have any ability to do it. So God had already told them, you're going to take the city. Okay, how are we going to do it? This is how you're going to do it. God may tell you to do something. You say, but I don't have the ability to do that. I can't do that. You think God cares? No, that doesn't stop him at all. So the task before the children of Israel was to bring the walls of Jericho down. But they didn't have the ability to do that. So now they're faced with a choice. Would they be able to believe God to do the impossible? Or like we sing today, can they believe God is the God of miracles? Yeah. So in your life and in my life, God calls us to circle walls that he wants to break down. And that comes in different ways for us. It could be, I want you to go share Christ with that person. I want you to share about Jesus. That person needs to know about my son. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I don't know if I got that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I have the right words. I'm not ready. I don't even have a Bible with me. Or God may tell you to give some money. It's like, wait a minute, Lord. I can't do that. I can't give away all that money. Or pray for someone's healing. Lord, I can't pray for that person's healing. What if they don't get healed? I can't fix them. I can't heal them. You're asking me to pray for that healing? But that's too big for me to believe you for. Or perhaps God tells us to forgive someone of a very grievous wrong that they've done. I mean, really grievous. He says, I want you to forgive. I can't forgive. I don't know how. I don't have the ability. But I want you to forgive. Are you willing to circle the wall? Or perhaps it's to encourage someone when they're down. Or perhaps it's to bless someone in some way. Or perhaps it's to stand in faith for your marriage. Or perhaps it's to give away what you actually need very much. Think about the widow who gave her two mites, her last two mites. Did she need them? probably more than anybody else that gave that day, and yet in her heart she felt prompted to give them. Why? We don't know. But is she willing to circle? Yeah. Or perhaps it means we're to continue to pray for a loved one who we've kind of given up on. And if you were at men's breakfast yesterday, you got to hear that amazing testimony that Bill Jones shared about his daughter, whom he'd been kind of estranged from, who had been way out in the world and doing all sorts of stuff in the world, and she's come back to the Lord. And she said, "Dad, it's because of your consistent walk with Jesus that I knew God was real, and that's why I came back to church, and that's why I'm walking with God right now." That's amazing. That's miraculously. Only God can break those miracles down. Amen? So God told the people, move forward and march. And there are times when God is going to speak to us, and he's going to say, move forward and march. And when that happens, I know you're going to be surprised to hear your pastor say this, it means it's no longer time to pray about it. The time to pray about it is over. The time to talk about it is over. Yeah. The time to even think about it is over. When God tells you to march, it's time to obey. That's it. It's not time to pray. It's not time to talk. It's not time to even think. It's time to make a decision. Will you obey what God tells you to do? In spite of whether it makes sense, in spite of whether you think he can do it, in spite of whether you think it will work, if you know God is telling you to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, you need to do that. And maybe especially if it doesn't make sense. Yeah, we need to obey. We need to obey. So there are some people here today that say, well, look, I can't obey God. I can't. I can't obey God's call on my life because I'm not the man that I need to be. I'm not the woman I need to be. Why not? No, think about that. Why aren't you the man that you need to be to obey God? Why are you not the woman you need to be to obey God? We need to be the man God wants us to be to obey God. We need to be the woman God wants us to be to obey God, instead of just saying, I can't do that because I've got this problem in my life and I'm still working on it. Work on it, get over it, and get on to obeying God. Be the man God's called you to be. Be the woman God's called you to be. Be that person. The key point is this. God does not often call the equipped. Have you noticed that? He doesn't often call the equipped, but he always equips the man or woman whom he's called. And you might say, well, wait a minute. I'm too old to be used of God. Hello, Joshua's old. He's probably 80-something years old. He's old. And God told him to march. Whatever God's called you to do, God's told you to march. To march. Let's march. Well, I'm not the leader of my family that I need to be. My marriage isn't quite where it should be. I can't march. I can't go on and do. Be the leader of your family you need to be. Get your marriage working the way it needs to work so that you can get on to obeying God. We are letting so many things in our lives become excuses, and the body of Christ, the work of God, and the move of God is hindered because of us whining and refusing to go on and be the person God wants us to be. So I want you to think about this. The plan was six times, one lap a day for 6 days, right? And then the seventh day, seven laps. Think about this. I'm sure there were Israelites that had decided it would be easier on the seventh day to take one more lap. Let's just do one lap today. Do you realize what we have to do, Joshua, to do seven laps in a day? That's a long way. We're going to have to get up really early. You know what? We're already tired from doing that walk for the last 6 days. Now you want us to do it 7 times? Wait a minute. And after we get done with that, with our armor, with our swords, with all our battle equipment, then you want us to run up and get into a battle and do warfare? Are you crazy? That's too much effort. That's too much work. I'll just walk around the city. Let's do another circle another day. I'm not ready for that today. I don't think... day 8, day 9, day 10, there are some Christians, it's day 10,563, and they're still walking around the city because they don't want to do what God told them to do on day 7. I'll just do one more lap. And they're wondering, why are those walls still there? I just can't understand. God told me to walk around the city, and they've come down. God hasn't come through. Nothing's changing in my life. Because you're just doing one lap a day, and we're refusing to do that hard 7th day that God has said you need to do. Can you imagine? Listen to the frustration. I imagine Joshua is a bit frustrated with the children of God. Verse 10, let's read that again. Now, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you'll shout." Now think about this. Joshua has been with these people in the wilderness, wandering around in circles for 40 years. Why? Because they were disobedient. So he, I'm sure, is saying this, and as he's saying it, he's thinking, "And don't you dare mess up this time. Don't you dare mess up again," right? Now think about this. He is telling them, look, I'm telling you 6 days and every day you can't say a word. Don't mess up. Don't you talk. Did I hear something over there? Don't say a word. You better keep it shut. Just obey. Do what I tell you to do. And then, when you hear the trumpets 7 times, then I'll tell you to shout. And then you better shout. Yeah, that's what he was thinking. And it says in verse 11, so he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So this was the first day. We're going back. He's told them the instructions. Now he's going back to what actually happened. So the first day, went around it once, and they circle. Think about it if you were one of the inhabitants of Jericho, okay? And you know these are the people of God, and they're supernatural people. And you're fearful. You're even superstitious. And they come out. They come out against you. And they form this file of a line, and they start walking around and making this big circle around the city. So here they are, they're being told, they're being waken up from sleep and saying, hey, the trumpets are blowing, alarms are going off, the children of Israel are on their way, they're marching, the battle's ready to happen, and they're all at the walls of the city, they got their weapons, and they're ready to go to battle. And wait a minute. What's going on here? And so their fear now is going to turn to jeers. So their fears are turning to jeers, and they're going, wait a minute. I thought these people were coming against the city. They're not coming against the city. They're just marching around the city. Those idiots. They're looking at our walls. They're looking how strong it is. Look at them. It's a parade. It's not an army, it's a parade. They got some clowns that are going to come out and do some clown acts. What are they going to do? They're blowing trumpets. Maybe someone's going to do drums, a little drum solo, a little flute solo here, some cymbals. What's going on here? This is not an army, this is a parade. And so now these people in Jericho, their fears have turned to jeers, and they are literally just throwing insults at the children of God as they're walking around each day. Oh, look, you came to walk around our walls. Look at how high they are. Look at how strong they are. Oh, yeah, we can tell. They are marching around, and they are being mocked while they're marching. Yeah, they march in circles for 6 days, and nothing changes. And the inhabitants know that, too. Nothing changes. Don't be fooled by what you see or don't see. You could be pregnant this morning. I know that sounds weird. How many of you had a surprise pregnancy where it's like you didn't know? All of a sudden, yeah. Any others? Yeah. There you go. That would be a surprise. Yeah, you can be pregnant and not even know it. Changes can be happening inside of you and around you, and you don't even see it. Something as drastic as pregnant and not even know it. Wow. Because change is a process, and change sometimes is very slow. When I was in junior high, there were times, spurts of months or so, that nothing seemed to change. I could wear the same clothes for several months. But my toes were growing right out of the ends of my shoes. Oh yeah, if you looked over here, nothing was changing, but my feet were growing. And that's what can happen in our lives, where we look around and we go, nothing seems to be changing. Oh, God is changing areas. We may not see them right away. Verse 12, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, as they did for 6 days. Now, couldn't God have done this quicker? Of course he could have. He could have had the children of Israel first day go up to the city walls and just speak to them. Fall down. And he could have fallen down. It just first day. Why are we doing it this way? He could have had them do so many other things. So what is this really all about? Is this a magical method? He never had them do it again. So it's nothing magical or methodical about this method of God. Why did God choose to do it this way? He could have done it a lot more expediently. So the method is more about the people than it is about God doing the miracle, isn't it? So somehow God wants to do something in the lives and the hearts and the minds of his people through the method that he chooses, more than he's concerned about how he's going to make this happen. It's more about us than about the miracle. And too often, that's the way God works in your life and my life. He chooses to do things the harder way. He chooses to do things the longer way. Yeah, the other way. And we don't know why. And he doesn't tell us. He never told them. But oftentimes when we look back on the journey, we see in our journey of faith, now the things make sense of why he wanted us to do it that way. But in the moment, it doesn't often make sense. And silence, this silence thing, let's talk about that. Silence is awkward, isn't it? Silence is just awkward. Can you imagine their march every day for 6 days? Don't say a word. Silence is awkward, but I want you to know silence is powerful too. You get focused in the story, you get focused on the shout, because that's when the walls come down. But silence is powerful. You know, the devil can't read your thoughts, but he can hear the words that come out of your mouth. Yeah. Silence is very, very powerful. And often singers will literally rest their voice. Some singers won't even speak before they're going to do a concert or something. They'll just write notes for hours or days before, because they're saving their voice, because when they get up and their moment comes, they're going to shout, and it's going to be with all they have. And sometimes we just need to be quiet, because our words can distract from the faith that God wants to build and grow inside of our hearts and our lives. And sometimes God tells us not to say a word in spite of criticism, in spite of attacks that are coming after us. And he says, oh, don't say a word. Don't say a word. How many of us have gotten in fights and caused great problems because we didn't heed that voice that said, don't say a word, don't try to defend yourself, Just shut up. Be quiet. It's interesting. 2 Peter 3 says this, knowing this first, scoffers will come in the last days, walking around in their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. So the world is going to scoff at you. Get used to it. Jesus said it's going to happen even more in the last days. If you believe God's word to be truly his word, you are going to be scoffed at. Get in line. It's going to be scoffing time. The children of Israel, while they're walking around that city every day, were being mocked and scoffed, heckled and jeckled. Keep marching. Keep trusting. Each day of walking ended with a whole time of rest. Did you notice that? Walk for a day, rest. Walk for a day, rest. Don't do anything. I'm sure some of them thought, hey, we could get a band of us together. We could start chipping away at the wall right there. There's a little weak spot. I've been walking around for 3 days, and I noticed this one little weak area. What if we take a band of us at night and we just start chipping away? Don't do anything. Just rest and trust me. But we want to get our little chisel and our hammer and start going around and tapping here, tapping there, and see if we can maybe make a little weak area help God out a little bit. We're going to help him out. We know we can't get the whole wall down, but maybe we could help him a little bit. Yeah, that makes about a lot of sense, doesn't it? So some of us get weary in well-doing. We can. And we get tired and we want to give up and stop marching. And God says what? Keep marching. Some of us want to quit praying. And God says, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Some of us want to quit believing for a miracle. And God says, don't you dare stop believing for a miracle. Some of us say, well, we've prayed, and nothing seems to have happened. And he says, keep praying. Keep believing. Keep marching. Some of us quit reading our Bibles. God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep reading the word. Some of us quit going to church. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with one another. And even more as you see the day approaching. Keep marching. Some want to give up. God says, keep marching. Keep circling and shout. That's the orders. That's the marching orders. That's the orders we have. It's as if we think we can demand God do things in our time frame. In our way. It doesn't work like that. How many of you know it doesn't work like that? Yeah, welcome to Christianity 101, right? Isaiah 55, it says, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. It's higher than the distance from the heavens and the earth. And perhaps you're here today and God may be telling you, stop talking, start trusting. And tomorrow, you may be shouting. Yeah. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. And on that day that only they circled around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord is giving you the city. Now the children, or the city rather, shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction and all who are in it. Let's skip up to verse 30, 20 rather, because we're going to do these other verses later next week. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, and the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So every day they blew the trumpet and they marched for 6 days. Nothing happened. Why did they blow the trumpets? None of the people in the city understood what was going on except for one person and her family. Her name was Rahab. She understood those trumpets. She knew what those trumpets were declaring. They were declaring judgment is coming. Destruction is coming. She understood the sounds of the trumpet. She discerned it. What if the inhabitants of the city of Jericho would have discerned the sound of that trumpet? What if they would have sent out emissaries to Joshua and said, look, we've heard of your God. We don't know him, but we've heard of him. And we know what he's capable of doing. And we want to surrender to you, and we want to know about your God. Would God have spared the city? He did for Nineveh, didn't he? He spared Nineveh. All it took was repentance. And God says in Ezekiel 33, he says, as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I believe it would have spared the city. And not only that, I believe it would have told the people of the inhabitants of Jericho, now you get in line and march with my people into the promised land. And they're going to teach you about my ways. And you will know me. So these people in Jericho, they were on the wrong side of the trumpet, weren't they? Ezekiel 33:7 says, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. So today, may God is calling you to blow the trumpet. God is calling you to march before him. God is calling you and I to circle the city. Whether anyone follows or doesn't follow is not our concern. We're called to march, we're called to obey, and we are called to blow the trumpet of God's word in a very wicked and perverse generation. He says, blow the trumpet. And he says, blow the trumpet against the walls of human hearts that seem impregnable. They seem impossible to break down. They seem hardened against God. He says, go ahead, blow my trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that the Lord is going to come with a shout, and he's going to come with the blowing of the trumpet. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that that trumpet is the last trump when Jesus comes. And in Mark chapter 13, we're told that we don't know the hour that our master is coming. But that trumpet is going to blow. So the question for us today is, are we ready? Are we blowing the trumpet? Are we ready for our master, our commander, to come? Because one day he's going to come with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And we need to be ready. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we need to start marching. And there are some of us, Lord, that have been marching around the circle of our problem. We've been circling our problems instead of your promises. We've been, Lord, so overcome with feeling like nothing is going to change. And it's been day 97. It's been day 368. It's been day 5,456. And Lord, we have been circling and circling and nothing's happened. And you are telling us today, you need to obey. You need to obey. What does that mean? I don't know. It may mean to circle. It may mean to march. And it may mean to shout. But whatever it means we need to obey God. Can we obey God in what he tells us to do? No matter whether we think it's impossible, whether we think it's all over, whether we've given up all hope, can we believe God and be the man or the woman God's called us to be? Father, that's what we want. That's our heart desire today. Lord, put faith in our heart. Build that faith up that it would be mightier than the walls and the obstacles before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.